There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska named three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, of course, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews. I do three brand new ones every single week, as a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. And if you're already a subscriber, please do take a moment to give the series a rating and a review wherever you listen from as well. And I will try to do my parts of keeping the great guests coming along. Most recently, we've talked to, Buffalo Tom, back with a brand new album. Mary Holland was here to tell us about, she's writing a movie about Lance Bass and Danielle Fishel. Monica Raymond, the star of Hightown on Starz. We had Neil Halstead of the band Slow Dive. Emily Hampshire, you know her from Schitt's Creek and 12 Monkeys. Neck Deep was here. They have a brand new pop-punk album. Actor Michael Shannon, Slater Kinney, Eduardo Franco from Stranger Things, Jack Antonoff, the super producer behind Taylor Swift and Lana Del Rey. We had Doctor Who's Peter Capaldi, McKenna Grace from Ghostbusters. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with director Matthew Vaughn. You know Matthew Vaughn, he's behind, well, most recently he's done all the Kingsman movies. He did some of the X-Men movies. He's back with a brand new one called Argyle. It's got another ensemble cast, which seems to be one of his hallmarks. Henry Cavill, Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Bryan Cranston, Catherine O'Hara, Dua Lipa, Ariana DeBose, John Cena, Samuel L. Jackson, just to name a few from the movie. It tells the story of Ellie Conway, an introverted spy novelist who seldom leaves her home, who is drawn into the real world of espionage when the plot of her books gets a little too close to the activities of a sinister underground syndicate. That's our plot. Matthew, he's always written his own movies. He's going to tell us why that changed when he read this script, one that he actually didn't write. He'll talk about that as well as what it was like having Henry Cavill and Sam Rockwell reshooting identical fight scenes, having Sam Jackson deliver lines in his iconic style, and the classic actors that he had in mind when he was casting the ones who would end up actually in the roles. Matthew's also going to go on to reveal how he cleared the final track from the Beatles, the song Now and Then, like a full year before any of us knew it even existed. What it was like to write the track Electric Energy that's featured in the movie, along with Ariana DeBose, Boy George, and Nile Rodgers, and the potential plans he has for two sequels or prequels. All that and more, we're talking about Argyle in theaters now. It's Kyle Meredith with Matthew Vaughn.
Hello, how are you doing?
I had so much fun watching Argyle. Really, you've once again made, I'll use that word again, just such a fun movie. So.
Well, the good news is I wanted it to be fun. Imagine if I was like, what are you talking about? It's fun. It's serious. You know, it is fun. And the fact that you've got Prince next to you and I like you.
Do you have a favorite Prince era?
I like his early era. I'm tired. Early era. Yes, I really liked his early stuff. So even things like Controversy and all the way back there. But Purple Rain is where I really, you know, that album blew my mind, and Sign of the Times was just a masterpiece.
Just right.
Yes, he's the best. I've seen it. So many people live, and there isn't a single person has gotten near to Prince.
No, that's true. I will agree with you. Was the greatest guitarist of my era.
Guitarist, performer. In 1 week, I was lucky enough to see Prince, Michael Jackson, and Madonna, and I was amazed each concert getting better, and then Prince just blew the other two off. They just were decimated by him.
Oh man, I really can't imagine. I've seen Michael Jackson and Madonna on video. Like I used, because you know, I was a kid of the 80s, so of course I was watching all those live shows. But I did see Prince live before he passed away. But I can't imagine what that was. What that week must have been like. That's amazing.
It was a good week.
Yeah. Well, I am going to talk about the music in Argyle because I know that's important. But I thought we'd start with sort of, you know, the basic stuff. Like, this is the first movie where it's not written, directed by you. This is the first one. It's not. What was it still about this idea that excited you?
Well, Jason wrote a really good script with a lot of twists in it. And the twist got me in the script. So that was, you know, he rang me up, said, would you read this screenplay? And it's pretty hard to, you know, when you've been reading a lot of scripts and doing it for a long time, it's hard to land Mr. X in the way he did. But the script was quite safe, shall we say. And I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, Jason, so I sat him down. I believe in, unlike other people in Hollywood, I tell the truth up front. And I said, look, I'm going to rip this apart. I'm going to change a lot. We're going to put a cat in the movie. We're going to come up with this idea that we'll have two spies, because his one was really about the super spy. And then she meets another super spy, and they, you know, it would be Brad Pitt and Henry Cavill. And you're like, yeah, sort of nice, but we sort of seen it, done it before. And I said, I want to do a movie where we have the super spy and the, let's call it the realistic rough spy, and seeing how these two people are on the same mission, do things totally different, but get to the same destination in a different manner. And that got me excited. And then I thought, in the third act, why don't we just do the most fun, feminine action ever done before and reinvent action for a woman? Mm-hmm. And we did it. Well, we tried to do it. I'm proud of it. So, and it was scary when we did it, because there were moments where you can see some people going, as usual, as he lost his mind. It seems to be a sort of a catchphrase I hear. But I don't know how many times one can lose your mind, but I seem to do it every time.
It's a good talent to have, I guess.
Yeah. I just think you've got to be brave and try and be original. It's our job, or my thing is my job, to entertain people.
And entertain you have. It is like somebody asked, one of the publicists asked me, he's like, well, what did you think about the movie? And I was saying, you know, it took
Had the publicist seen the film, do you think? Because sometimes publicists ask, they need to know what it is.
That's a good question. But I think my answer was, you know, it actually took me a few minutes to find the flow, because at the beginning, you know, we see this over the top, fantastical, you know, in the story spy thing happening. And then there's the flashing back and forth, as you say, between the two spies. Having Henry and Sam sort of playing the same person, but playing two completely, like, Like, how was it to shoot that? Because it's not that you have to be lock in step with each other. It's almost, it feels like it's the opposite of that.
Well, that was the irony, is they had to, it was very hard to shoot. We had to shoot the action sequences twice, right? So it's not, it's pretty hard doing it once, let alone twice. But they had to do the same choreography, but with a different interpretation. And it was, you know, to their credit, they really rehearsed it and rehearsed it. So they made my life a lot easier. And it was just, it was very funny to watch as well, because, and some of the jokes that you see, we did make up on the day. Cause I was like, oh, hey, actually, you know, these two stunt ladies, I said, go on, just give them a little peck on the cheek and let's see what happens. And so there was a really good creative camaraderie on the set. And I think that's what comes across in this movie. The fun came from that. There was a lot of us. We were all united in let's make a fun, great movie and enjoy. And we all felt blessed because we made this right at the end of lockdown. So we all got out of our houses and found each other and made a movie.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Matthew Vaughn.
I know this is one of those questions that, especially because of the type of movies you make and the casts you continually put together, but how does an ensemble cast like this actually happen? Because it feels like, you know, as the old saying goes, it's amazing that any movie ever gets made. But to have a movie with this many like top names, like how do you do that?
Well, if you don't ask, you don't get. And I've been incredibly lucky that that actors have tended to say yes. And you know, I'm a director, and you know, I say this to people. John Huston's first said it: directing is 90% casting. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like a conductor. So if you're an orchestra and you hire the best musicians, your job is just to keep them in time and guide them a little bit. But these people are so good that even if I'm out of time, they're going to stay on time or in time. And I'm just lucky. They make because you know, if you make a movie and you've got the best cinematographer, the best screenplay, the best music, the best locations, the best costume, the best makeup, but the actors suck, doesn't matter, you're dead. So, you know, in the end of the day, acting is, you know, that's what you relate to. You relate to the characters on the screen more than anything else. And if you don't relate to the characters, you're not going to be engaged in the movie.
I've heard you say that you keep classic actors in mind at the beginning of the movie.
Oh yeah, when I write, definitely. And because they're not going to turn me down because I can't ask them to be in the movie. But secondly, it's just a little bit freer. And they're the people that inspired me. Like when we write music, I'm always going back to the characters on your wall. Because that's where my love of film came from and the love of acting. So and like with this movie, like Argyle, I was like, you know what? I want to cross between Sean Connery and Roger Moore together. And Aidan Wilde, the Sam Rockwell character, I said to him, I sort of want a little bit of Jack Nicholson, a lot of Gene Wilder, and maybe a dash of Bill Murray. And that's how it's in it. And then you can give references that we all understand, and then it becomes their own. But of course, I don't want them to be impersonating them, but just be inspired by them.
And then it's about finding that that's what I wondered, like at the end results, if you look back, like how close was the matchup, who actually was cast versus maybe what you had in your head? Like how often does that really hit?
It's virtually identical. Like, you know, on Layer Cake, I was saying to everyone, we've got to find the new Steve McQueen, mm-hmm. right? And Daniel Craig walked in. I was like, that's my guy. And you know, Kingsman was all about finding the new, well, not finding David Niven was the inspiration. And Colin Firth, I think, is the modern David Niven. And so, yeah, if you can go through any of my movies, I'll tell you who the actor or the legend was that inspired the role.
Yeah, I love knowing that. And since we're hitting there, the music, there are three main songs. We don't have to talk about where they are in it, but I heard the first notes of Now and Then, and I was like, oh my God, he's using Now and Then. You know, here we have this final Beatles song that's come out, and it's not the exact version. I mean, this sounds like the demo, the original Lennon demo, and knowing that Giles was a part of this too, how did you end up with this? Because this is still so new in the world for it to be in a movie.
So Giles Martin, who's the producer, over a year and a half ago, said I was with him and I said, look, I'm really struggling to find what I call the romantic song of the movie because I need it to be sad but hopeful. And most, Now that I've listened, this movie made me listen to more love songs than I've ever tried in my life. And I realized that most of them is just sad, you know, and all about breakups. And I was like, I said, I can't make it just that. I need a, it needs something with a, you know, with an uplift. And he said, do you want to hear a new Beatles song? And Giles has got a hell of a sense of humor. So I was like, yeah, whatever. He goes, no, I'm being deadly serious. And he played it to me. And it was as if Lennon had seen the film, the lyrics, Now and Then, the way it was. Then I said, okay. And then we just slapped it on the movie and we didn't have to edit anything. It just fitted the picture, which I was like, oh my God, thank you. And then Lorne heard it and came up with the idea of doing some big orchestrations of, it's one of my favorite themes now. I think when the orchestra belts that out at the end of the movie, I was like, oh, you know, thank you, Sir Paul, Ringo, Harrison, I'm even saying this, Sean Lennon as well as John Lennon, and the idea that I got to actually work with the last Beatles song, what an honor. There's no other way of describing it, and a privilege. But boy, was it hard having it for a year and not talking to anyone about it. I was not allowed to talk, you know, that I had to give my word I wouldn't speak about it. So it's actually very nice to finally go, can you believe this?
I mean, I can't imagine. I actually can't imagine that, because of all the songs in all of the world, when we heard that there's one more Beatles song, and, you know, and for me, Free as a Bird and Real Love were two of the most important songs of my, you know, early teenage years.
Wow.
And to hear this final thing, you know, and I've sat with it, and I also work at a radio station here in Louisville, and you know, we've played it so many times.
Are you from Louisville?
Yeah, I'm in Louisville. Yeah.
My partner's in my bourbon. You know, they make my Brown Foreman. So I've always promised them I'm coming out soon. I'm just worried I won't know how to leave once I get there. But I'm looking forward to going there one day.
I know a lot of the folks over at Brown Foreman. That's it's good people. Yeah. Good.
Good family, and even better bourbon.
Well,
bourbon. How would you say it?
You got it. Bourbon. Bourbon. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. It all tastes the same. So it's no matter how you say it.
When you say that, you can taste the good stuff from the bad stuff. Well, you feel it the next day as well.
Well, the Beatles. Okay, so the Beatles. I was also going to, you've got Snow Patrol's Run in here. Also, mm-hmm. Really great.
Well, a different version of it. It's not Snow Patrol. It's Leona Lewis, sort of a big gospel-y, themic version.
And then there's Electric Energy. Now, I saw in the credits that you have a co-write on this song too. Are you a co-writer on the song?
Either that or I'm a liar. So yes, I am a co-writer. It was bizarre because we couldn't find a disco track for the Bakunin, that apartment action sequence. And we tried everything and it wasn't fitting. And then I was like, well, let's write a old, new disco track. I mean, what is it about old and new in this movie? But like with the Beatles, I went, well, and so we wrote the template, and then we played it to Ariana, who had some great ideas. And then she sang it with us. And then Boy George came aboard, and then he wrote a new verse. And then Nile Rodgers came on and did the guitar. And I was like, and we created a new old disco track. And it's funny because when you play the movie to people, and I'm, you know, people my generation and some older who are around that, they go, oh, I love this song. And they're tapping. I go, what is it? And they go, yeah, I know it. It's what I remember dancing to this in Studio 54. And I'm like, do you now? And then I say, it's a new one. It was, you know, do you know what? It was really good fun writing it, but making the video and watching these act—I don't know if you've seen the video, but
these
actors revealed their true spirit of fun in this video, and so that was fun as well.
So, what level is Henry's level of fun in this video? Because that's obviously one of the best parts to see him just
being Henry. So Henry and I, when we on the movie. You know, his opening sequence was a dance sequence with Dua Lipa. So Henry and I are quite kindred spirits that dancing isn't top of our list for fun, you know, and we both admitted we're pretty good at dancing with a bar and alcohol in our hand, watching people dance and maybe we'll nod our head up and down. So it was quite intriguing because Dua Lipa was sort of nervous acting in her first movie opposite Henry Cavill, and Henry Cavill was like nervous dancing with her and having to lift her up as well. And he just was nervous about dropping her, Yeah, so the video, I said it, you know, Henry and I were, you know, when Henry was doing his stuff, I went, be yourself. You're not the character right now. And so do it as you would do it. Everyone, you know, this is the whole point. This is the actors in the video, not the characters in the video. And Henry was like, this is not my cup of tea. Are you sure we should be doing this? And I was like, yeah, play it like it's not your cup of tea. So he played it like it wasn't his cup of tea.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Matthew Vaughn.
And seeing Niall on there, Niall Rogers, I mean, God, anything the guy touches and is a part of, once he brings that guitar and bass in.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And by the way, and it's effortless.
Yeah.
Just it's my I went to a concert of Niall's with my son, and my son halfway through it was like, he's not doing that for real. And I went, no, he really is. He because it's, I mean, just a legend.
I've seen him on video. I've never been in the room, but like seeing him write with people.
You got to get out more. Everyone we talk about, you've seen on video. You get out of Louisville.
I've never been invited into his songwriting process is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. You know, but, yeah.
Yeah. Watching him in the songwriting, it is. It's just like, you can't imagine how easy it just comes to him. And then knowing what he's been a part of, you know, yeah. Bowie. You know, resurrecting, and not that Bowie needed resurrecting his career, but putting him into the pop world just by...
He gave Bowie his most commercial album of all time. And one of his great... I mean, Modern Love, it's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece. I'll bring up a masterpiece moment of Argyle, too. Watching Sam Jackson talk is enough, usually. Hearing his... I don't know what you call it. It's not really a monologue, but his lines about the wine... as he's, you know, talking about the vineyard. It's one of those moments where I think, is this speech written with Sam Jackson saying it in mind? Because it sounds like a classic Samuel L. Jackson moment.
Well, once Sam Jackson, he could read the Yellow Pages and it will sound like a classic Sam Jackson written for him moment. I mean, he is an extraordinary actor that brings an A-plus game to whatever he does. And it's just such a delight to work with him. And it's this big joke. He loves singing. I'm not going to sing. He sings, he's undirectable, right? And he does it to, someone has to help me out. What's the, you know, no, not Sinatra. It's no, under.
Unbelievable, EMF?
No, undirectable. But it's not. No, it's not a. Oh God, come on.
Help me out. See what you're saying. Unforgettable.
That's what I. So he sings undirectable, and I was laughing because he's not meaning like you can direct me, but why bother?
Just does it. It's him.
Yeah, because some people do make the mistake of saying, "Sam, can you do it again? Can you do it again?" I mean, with Sam, once you get to the third take, you've got to be an idiot
right?
Because you know, first take. Make, you know, it's a second. I mean, as long as you make sure you technically you captured him, if you're on a third take, there must be something wrong with the camera because it's just perfection.
This I've heard somebody talk about this being more of a universe. Like, how far down the line are you? Second, third movie? Is that what I'm understanding?
Look, we would love to do more. The issue is people have to go watch the movie this weekend for us to do more because. Pretty hard to persuade someone to give you money to make a movie if no one watched the first one. So, and you know, the next one, I touch wood, cross fingers, if this works, would be the book one, which has just been published, where we go back and we see how Argyle goes from a long head ponytail guy to a flat top.
Oh, that flat top. That's going to be iconic. I really hope that continues. I really do, because it is, as I said at the beginning, it's such a fun movie. And it's got a great soundtrack.
Well, spread the word and call of arms. Go to the cinema this weekend, please. For the sake of all of us, cinema needs help.
And you're doing your part for that, and I appreciate it, Matthew. Thank you so much for taking the time. Seriously, it's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you as well.
My thanks to Matthew Vaughn. Argyle now playing wherever fine movies are played. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. That way you get every new interview we send out. 3 brand new ones every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating and leave a review as well. After that, please do head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me every weeknight at 6 p.m. Eastern. I'll spend 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured the music of Bow Wow Wow, Elvis Costello, Otis Redding, John Paul Young, David Bowie, Mary Clayton, Eddie Vedder, Counting Crows, Suzanne Vega, Liz Phair, TLC, Parliament, The Last Dinner Party, Corinne Bailey Ray, The National, U2, Slow Dive, Angie McMahon, Elliot Smith, David Byrne, The Black Keys, Jesus and Mary Chain, Adrian Linker from Big Thief, and my interview with Little Steven, Steven Van Zandt of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. Just an example of what you get to every weeknight, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like it. Follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.